Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are, well, we're putting it all together. This is the culmination of everything we've been talking about with decentralized money markets.
It is, yeah.
We're taking all those principles and actually synthesizing them into a complete professional system. We are moving past just theory and into, you know, a fully structured risk-managed operation.
That's the key distinction. We are talking about system thinking now. The core concept is operational excellence.
Operational excellence. So not just making good trades, but having a good process.
Exactly. It doesn't matter how smart your capital allocation is if your operations are. Well, if they're messy. So this demands integrating four major components. You've got portfolio management, real-time automation, a robust risk framework, and this is crucial, meticulous operational workflows. The whole thing has to behave like a machine.
Okay, let's start with the blueprint then. If operational excellence is the goal, what are the, say, five non-negotiable core components? Let's just lay it out so you know exactly what you need to build.
Right. Think of these as the five pillars of your system.
Okay.
Pillar one is portfolio management. This isn't just about where you put your assets, but why. So multi-protocol allocation, and more importantly, clear rules for rebalancing.
When things inevitably shift.
Mm.
And pillar two, I'm guessing this is the lifeblood of safety.
It is. Pillar two is risk management. In this world, that means focusing almost obsessively on health factor monitoring and having emergency protocols.
Can we just define health factor right there? It's so central to everything.
Good call. So your health factor, or HF, is the ratio of your collateral's value to your borrowed assets value. If it hits 1.0, you're facing liquidation. Plain and simple. Our entire system is designed to keep us very, very far from that edge.
Got it. Okay, what's pillar three?
Pillar three, performance tracking. And I mean, forget gross APY. We need tools to calculate your real risk-adjusted returns and your gas costs.
The stuff that actually hits your bottom line.
Precisely. Pillar four is automation tools. This is often the weakest link in amateur setups. We're talking sophisticated alerts, dashboards, and maybe even scripts to help you manage positions.
And the last one.
And finally, pillar five. Operational workflows. This is all about discipline, defining your daily, weekly, and monthly routines, and backing it all up with mandatory documentation.
I want to pause on automation for a second, because that really does feel like the jump from amateur to pro. The source material mentions a specific technology stack. What are these automation tools actually doing for you?
Yeah, this is a great point. It's not just about getting a ping on your Telegram.
Right.
The real value is computation. You'll use tools, maybe some custom Python or JavaScript scripts that talk to the protocol APIs, and they're just constantly running calculations that a human, I mean, you just can't manage it in real time.
So what are they calculating?
Things like dynamic liquidation buffers based on current volatility, or finding the cheapest gas route for a rebalance. The output isn't a notification that says, hey, your HF is 1.8.
It's more useful than that.
It's a detailed report. It says, to get back to your target HF of 2.5, you need to supply 5 ETH at the current price, and that's going to cost you about $15 in gas. That is professional automation.
That's a huge distinction. Moving from just a notification to a calculated solution. Okay, let's pivot from the blueprint to the actual portfolio structure.
Mm-hmm.
What does a starting allocation look like? We need some real numbers here.
Okay, so we want a structure built on a foundation of security. You introduce the optimization later.
Makes sense.
By protocol, we suggest starting with, say, 40 to 50% in a Kaelva. A HAV is your foundation. It's mature, heavily audited. It's the anchor.
Okay, anchor and a HAV, what's next?
Next, maybe 20 to 30% to Morpho. This is where you get your efficiency. Morpho's peer-to-peer matching often leads to better supply APYs, lower borrowing costs. It's what I'd call safe optimization.
Now, here's my challenge to that. You're recommending only 10 to 20% in customizable protocols like Euler. If you're graduating to an active operator, shouldn't you want a bigger slice of that pie for finding alpha? Why so low?
That is a very deliberate choice. It's based on the system's maturity. We are teaching risk management first.
Yeah.
Customization means complexity. And complexity introduces risks you might not see coming. So we keep it at 10 to 20% initially because the focus is on testing your workflow, testing your risk framework, not maxing out your yield on day one.
So you can scale that up later once the system is proven.
Exactly. Once it's running smoothly for 6 months, go for it. And then the last 10 to 20% is optional for other chains or just as a cash reserve.
That makes perfect sense. Limit the experimental part at the start. So how about by strategy? How does that risk layering look?
Right. So the base of your capital, a big chunk, 60 to 70%, has to be in supply-only strategies.
The boring, low-risk stuff.
The boring, stable yield base. Then 20-30% can go into moderate leverage for optimization, and only 10-20%, the very top of the pyramid, should be for those aggressive maximum yield strategies.
And what about the assets themselves?
Quickly on assets, 50-60% stablecoins for stability, 30-40% in blue chips like ETH for collateral, and that final 10-20% in yield-bearing tokens, only if they pass, very strict due diligence.
This is where the operational excellence really kicks in, the risk triggers. We know the health factor is critical, but what specific thresholds demand immediate action?
So we set up two non-negotiable alert tiers. And this isn't theoretical. You have to go configure this on your monitoring tools with redundant notifications.
Like email, Telegram, the works.
The works. The warning threshold is when your health factor drops below 2.0. This means you still have a full 100% buffer. It's a signal to stop, review, and get your collateral or repayment ready.
And the critical one?
The critical threshold is an HF below 1.5. This is an emergency. You have to initiate your emergency protocol immediately.
Why 1.5? That still seems kind of far from 1.0.
Because market volatility and gas spikes can push you from 1.5 to 1.1 in an instant. We are building a generous buffer to account for the realities of on-chain speed.
Okay, so beyond just the HF dropping, what other conditions force a full portfolio reshuffle?
Yeah, there are five rebalancing triggers that tell you your current setup isn't optimal anymore.
What's the first one?
First, a significant rate spread. If the APY difference between your protocol and another is more than 1%, you're just being inefficient.
Okay, second.
Second, risk threshold breaches. A protocol gets exploited or its risk score changes dramatically. Third, big utilization changes in a pool you're in, which can spike your borrowing costs.
That's a sneaky one.
It is. Fourth, unexpected protocol updates. And fifth, just simple portfolio drift.
How much drift is too much?
When your actual allocation moves more than 10% from your target, the 10% tolerance is a balance. If you rebalanced at 1% drift, you'd spend all your profit on gas.
Right, so that human in the loop concept is key here. Automation flags it, but a person has to approve the big moves.
Absolutely. The automation detects and calculates, but for any big structural change, human approval is mandatory. We want reliable alerts, not costly accidents from a bad script.
All this structure requires discipline. So let's talk about the operational engine, the workflows. What's the time commitment, and how do the daily, weekly, and monthly routines actually differ?
The time commitment shrinks a lot once your system is up and running. This is how you move from constantly checking your phone to being systematic.
So the daily check-in.
The daily workflow is quick, 5 to 10 minutes. You're just checking for overnight alerts, reviewing health factors on leveraged spots, and scanning protocol news. It's a rapid status check.
And the weekly.
The weekly workflow is more like 30-60 minutes. On Monday, you do a comprehensive position review. Midweek, you monitor for those rebalancing triggers we talked about. And Friday, you generate a quick report and plan for the next week.
I could see the efficiency there, the tools you're doing, the math. You're just spending the 60 minutes reviewing and deciding.
Exactly. The heavy lift is the monthly workflow. That's 2 to 4 hours. This is your full audit. You calculate all your final performance metrics, you stress test all your positions, and you update your risk framework document.
Let's drill down on those metrics. We know net APY is important, but what are the really professional metrics we have to track?
We focus on three groups that tell the whole story.
Okay.
First, your yield metrics. Obviously, net APY gross yield minus all your gas fees. But the gold standard is your risk-adjusted return, usually the Sharpe ratio. It tells you how much return you're getting for the amount of risk you're taking.
And what's a good Sharpe ratio in this space?
You should be aiming for well above 1.0, ideally in the 1.5 to 2.0 range, because DeFi is just inherently riskier than traditional finance.
Okay, what's the second group of metrics?
Risk metrics. Track your average health factor. If it's consistently hanging out below 2.0, you're probably too aggressive. You also have to calculate your maximum drawdown risk, your absolute worst-case scenario in a crash.
And the third.
Cost metrics. So total gas spent, and more importantly, gas as a percentage of your total yield. If you're spending 15% of your yield on fees, your system is just plain inefficient.
And to give all those numbers context, we need benchmarks.
You have to. You need a conservative one, like the risk-free rate, which we'll define as stablecoin supply on IVE. Then you track against the market average, maybe a Defilama index. And finally, you track against your own target.
This all requires, and I think people hate this part, documentation. What are the five essential documents you have to maintain?
Look, if you can't document it, you haven't mastered it. Simple as that. You need these five, whether it's a spreadsheet or Notion, I don't care.
Lay them out for us.
First, the portfolio overview, target versus current allocations. Second, the position log, detailing every single position. Third, your risk framework with all your stress tests and HF rules. Fourth, performance tracking with all those metrics we just talked about. And fifth, emergency procedures, a literal step-by-step plan for when that HF hits 1.5.
This whole structure seems designed to let you scale up safely. So let's outline that graduation path. The three stages from saver to full-on operator.
Exactly. The path respects the learning curve. You don't jump into the deep end.
Stage one.
Stage one is the saver. This is months 0 to 3. The focus is purely on safety. You use AVE only, you supply stablecoins only, and you keep collateral O off F. Your only goal is to build confidence with the basics.
And after 3 months,
you move to stage two, the vault allocator. Months 3 to 6. Now the focus shifts to efficiency. You graduate to Morpho vaults. This introduces curated risk, but without high leverage. Your goal here is to safely optimize yield and really practice that weekly review.
And finally, the big leaks.
Stage 3, the active operator. This is month 6 and beyond. Now you're running the full professional system. You're using multiple protocols, introducing conservative leverage, keeping that HF above 2.0, and your automation is fully implemented.
Let's nail this down with some clear do's and don'ts.
The do's are simple. Do start small, do diversify, do monitor actively, and please, do document everything.
And the don'ts sound like the classic mistakes.
They are the emotional pitfalls. Don't chase the highest yields blindly. Don't ignore your health factors, ever. Don't overleverage. And don't skip your monthly review.
Okay, let's make this tangible. The source material gave an example of a $100,000 portfolio running this exact system. What was the result of all this operational excellence?
The structure itself was a lesson. It was $40,000 in a 5 as the anchor, 30 EL in Morpho, using ETH to borrow USDC, but keeping a really conservative health factor of 2.2, then 20K in some more complex Euler strategies, and a $10 reserve.
That seems like a lot to manage.
But that's the point of the system. The results were fantastic. A net APY of 4.8% and a Sharpe ratio of 1.6.
So 1.6 Sharpe is really, really good.
It's excellent. It shows great returns for the low volatility they maintained and the efficiency gain. Because of the workflows and automation, managing that whole $100,000 operation took only about 2 hours a week. That is operational excellence.
So what does this all mean for you, the person listening? The big takeaway is that this whole mastery path.
Yeah.
It wasn't about learning where to put your money. It was about building an operational framework to do it safely and professionally.
You've now got the tools. You understand the math. You've built a risk framework. You've designed a professional system. But the course was clear on one thing. Mastery comes from practice. The system is designed, but it needs real-world testing.
So a final thought to leave you with.
Our final thought is this. Don't wait until your system is theoretically perfect on a spreadsheet. Define your goals for the next 3 months and start practicing stage one today. Supply a small conservative amount on a FAV and just master that 5 to 10 minute daily routine. The operation starts now.